Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A quick update on the Gentleman's World podcast after a couple of days of working and hustling and making things happen in the background. And now I'm ready to do an update because something significant happened. You probably already heard about it. If you didn't hear about it, and this is the first you're hearing about it, I hope you jump for joy about it, because you should jump for joy about it, because it means good things, possibly. And I'm reminded back when I used to have a teacher, Mr. Padoff, way back in Morse High School, and he used to have a thing for Newt Gingrich in particular, but also the song Happy Days Are Here Again. I'm not going to sing that song. I am going to say that the Democrats in the current administration, Biden administration, they've been working really hard to try to pass what they call the Build Back Better plan as spearheaded by the president. Now, anybody that's taken the time to understand and read this understands that it is basically a liberal wish list. It's a progressive wish list. It's a bunch of unsustainable things that are going to turn us into, to coin a term, a banana republic. Socialism run rampant. That's what it does. And of course, when you create dependencies on the government, they now control you. This isn't to say that we shouldn't do some aid, but they went too far with it. So what happens? They slice the bill in half and say, will you please, 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 please? And then the progressives are yelling and screaming because they're not getting what they want. The moderates are saying, we're not going to pass this. It's pork. Meanwhile, the Republicans are sitting off saying, well, you went bipartisan on nothing, so why start now? And so now they're just kind of chilling. And even with it stripped down by half, they still couldn't pass it. They just announced that they failed to pass this deal. And I argued before that what happened over in Virginia and what almost happened in New Jersey was a symptom of the times are changing, right? Of people getting tired of the same old and not being listened to. Because in the heartlands and on the East Coast in particular, there's this sense of patriotism that cannot be understated. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was basically telling him, it's like you can't understate the patriotism of some of these people, specifically in the Bible Belt, especially on the East Coast. They are very patriotic people, and they are not taken well to have, like when you have mothers, them being told how their kids are going to be taught, seeing statues of founding fathers torn down, all the stuff happening in the riots and nobody doing anything about it, and now the vaccine mandate and everything else, right? So all of this brings to a head, and then now you've got moderates. So despite the fact that the Democrats run the House and the Senate as far as majority, it's moot because the moderates that are there are saying, whoa, we're going too fast, and why are we doing so liberal, and why are we pushing these agendas, and the bill's too expensive, and 2,000 pages, and you didn't give us time to review it, and all these red flags. Kudos to them, as a former auditor, for hitting the brakes and saying, stop, you got to do this right. If you're going to do it, we need to do it right, we need to read it, and we need to make sure that we're not going to basically put all of our kids and grandkids into debt, because that's what inflation does. The bill, the original draft of the bill, was going to increase the level of inflation that we already are suffering under. And the moderates kind of knew this. And so they've been working actively to try to stymie the bill. The flip is that, unfortunately, the liberal and progressive side has basically accused them of halting progress. They don't care about you. They don't want you to have any help. They don't want you to have any more stimulus. They don't want you to have this, which isn't true. They're saying, we don't mind this stuff. The Republicans said, we don't mind this stuff. Both sides said, we just need to make sure we can pay for it without indebting people in the future. Because when you're out of office, you're going to leave them with a mess, and then you have to clean it up. Anybody who was around when Bill Clinton became president, Bill Clinton, I believe, was the first president in a long time that was able to get us to a surplus, meaning that he was able to decrease the debt that had been, you know, placed on his lap and able to get us to a surplus. And then, of course, as presidents then later came, some of which was not their fault, but they basically put the debt even higher, to the point they had to change the sign on Wall Street where it was calculating the total debt per household. So now fast forward, and this deal fails to pass when they have majorities in the House and the Senate. And one must ask themselves, if you have the majority, how is it possible that you still can't get stuff done? I go back to the Obama administration, when the Obama administration actually had a majority at one point and he couldn't get a bill passed. And I remember him actually doing an interview, and I forget if it was CNN or something, and he said, well, how about you pass a bill? And so it's, why is it that, you know, a Democrat president gets in, they run the House, they run the Senate, so basically you run everything except the Supreme Court, and you can't pass the bills. I'll tell you why. It's because the bills are not what the American people at large want. I mentioned on a previous update, the biggest fault of the current media and the current governments is that they're listening too much to social media. Social media, even now, is a fraction of the American population. It does not represent the heartland. It does not represent the Bible Belt. It does not represent the older, the so-called boomers and baby boomers. It does not represent those generations that are not on social media. However, social media is easy to get to. Social media is fast to get to. Social media gives you data without paying for it in most cases. So they're using it because it's easy. And then they're making leaps as far as, well, that must be the voice because this is, you know, I see it's trending and it's got a million views and that must mean that that's what the people want. And the truth is, no, it's actually a very small minority of the total population that want these things. It's fine to want those things. All the rest of us have been saying is we got to make sure we know how to pay for this without indebting future people. And the truth is they can't because no matter what they do, no matter what they tell you, I remember when Obama said, we're not going to have any new taxes, not going to have it. And then Obamacare comes out. There's an excise tax. He says, we got to pay for this somehow. It's same thing. Biden administration, no new. We're not going to do any new taxes. Come on, man. And then fast forward and that's, well, maybe 400,000 per household. It's always that story of I'm going to sell you on X with snake oil to get in the door. And then after I'm in the door, I sneak in these little taxes. People don't realize that the taxes don't have to be upfront income taxes. They can be inflation, which is a tax on the middle class. It's what it is. It is a tax on the lower class. That's what it is. Harder to get employment. When I say harder, if you're creating FOXC mandates and all this other stuff, you're making it harder for people to get and sustain work. When you make it not financially practical to have unions, as little as I think of unions, the fact is the lack of them has harmed us. The loss of pensions has harmed us. And so when you do these policies that are inherently harmful, it is a tax on the lower class. It is a tax on the middle class because you're talking about the people who have to deal with check to check. They don't have the wealth to be able to do what you're talking about. When the prices of homes go up, you make it harder for people to get into housing. What California did, which is we're just going to cut down on single family housing, doesn't solve the problem. All you're doing is hiding from the problem. The real problem is not the availability of housing or the lack of housing, not even the pricing of housing. It is how you are creating all these expensive services that you're building, whether or not the majority want them, and then you have to pay for that somehow, which causes everything else to go up, aka inflation. So the failure of this administration to pass this bill and what happened in Virginia and what almost happened in New Jersey and what happened in Afghanistan and what's going on at the border. I mean, I could go on and on where there's just failures because what they're doing is they're accommodating the minority voices. They're not accommodating the majority voices. And that's going to harm them, I guarantee you, come 2022. But they estimate that Virginia really was a precursor to things to come in 2022. I would agree that's true. And I would like to see some of the outlier states actually step up and say, this needs to change. You know, like your Nevadas of the world, and I'll even put Oregon in there. I want to see them, their people, stand up and say, this can't happen. We can't have us devolving into, to coin the term, a banana republic. We've got to get back to individual liberties. We've got to get to individual freedoms. We've got to get back jobs. We've got to get smarter about how we do things and stop trying to cram down legislation that's going to make our grandkids indebted to the government for life.